On and off the field, women in sports are inspiring and motivating others to be the best versions of themselves, rewriting the rules and changing the game. This is the On Her Turf podcast, hosted by Katherine Tappan.
Welcome to the On Her Turf podcast. I'm Katherine Tappan. Thanks so much for joining us this time. Today we are chatting with pro beach volleyball player Carrie Walsh Jennings, a five-time Olympian, three-time Olympic gold medalist, and one-time Olympic bronze medalist. And today, Carrie has her sights set on winning gold at the 2020 Olympic Games in Tokyo, Japan, and also very busy with keeping up with her three beautiful children. Carrie, thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So I last saw you in Rio covering beach volleyball there and having the great opportunity to spend time with you and April Ross, as well as the men's team USA Volleyball players, but you've been quite busy since I last saw you, and I know we have a lot to catch up on. So tell me first about your latest accomplishment that you and your husband, Casey Jennings, created, the P1440. This is a movement. Tell me about it.
It is a movement. Well, you know, I thought I was busy before I had kids, and I was so delusional. And then I thought I was busy when I had kids, and I was super delusional. Now we're starting in a business. We're entrepreneurs, and it's like, okay, this is really busy. So my husband and I, along with our partners, the Mace family, we're launching P1440, which stands for Platform 1440. And basically, we are a movement. It's so much more than just sport, my sport of beach volleyball. We're launching a movement centered around sport and wellness and lifestyle optimization. And so basically, when you think of it, we're an event series. We're going to have four events in 2018, and we're also a technology platform. That's the larger side of us because we want to scale. But the way I kind of like to describe it is, like, if you think of anyone who's kicking butt as a professional athlete or any high performer in life, it's like, what are they doing to perform at their optimum level? What are they doing mentally, physically, emotionally, physically? And everything that I do on a daily basis, my husband does on a daily basis with regard to meditation or, you know, fitness, nutrition, everything that we do, our experts are going to be on site at our festival events. Our first one's upcoming in San Jose in a couple weeks. And they're also going to live on our technology platform in the form of webinars, you know, live Facebook Q&As, tutorials. Because ultimately, we want to give people access to all the amazing experts that we've had the blessing to learn from and to grow with.
So why, you know, you talk about all these endeavors and the responsibility of the children and your training regimen as well. Why did you find the need to really branch off on your own with Casey and the Mace and take on this huge challenge?
Well, you know, we love, like, this is all fueled by love, you know, and Casey and I had been on the ADP tour for many, many years, and we loved the ADP, and our peers play on the tour, and we just felt like we believed in more and bigger, and that wasn't going to happen with the ADP, and so we respectfully decided to kind of branch away, to take nothing away from them, like honor them and support them, but to be like, hey, what is the void that needs to be filled here? The athletes need more opportunities to compete. We need to bring new eyeballs to the game, so let's bring in these other elements of health and wellness, personal development, and entertainment. And then we'll attract, you know, new brands to the game. We'll attract new eyeballs. And the athletes who are truly beach volleyball in every summer games and volleyball is the number one sport at the Olympic Games because the stories of the athletes are told. The sport is shown with such integrity and it's marketed so well, but it falls away after the Olympics. And so what we want to do is capture that magic in a bottle, the lightning in a bottle that is beach volleyball and volleyball at the Olympics, and we want to make it sustainable. And we want to make it sustainable 365, 24/7, and not more than just the Olympic years. And so that was really kind of the impetus behind it. You know, the top athlete in America for beach volleyball made $38,000 last year, and
wow,
that's not enough. And, you know, we don't want handouts, we don't want that, but we believe that if we marketed better, if we prioritize telling the story of the athletes, and showed the other elements of our sport and lifestyle that make it so rad and so relatable to so many, you know, different demographics, that we can be able to elevate the prize money, elevate the opportunities, and so the athletes can be true professionals. Because right now, they're training like professionals, they compete like professionals, but they're getting paid kind of like hobbyists.
Well, talk to me about, you've mentioned so much about what this sport has done for you personally. You know, you had a college scholarship at Stanford to play volleyball, and you met your husband through volleyball. You have this beautiful family, you have wonderful things and great opportunity and growth business-wise as well from it. But it must have been a very personally difficult decision for you and both of you as a family to really branch away from the AVP. How difficult was that, Carrie?
You know, it was heartbreaking in a lot of ways, just because, you know, it's what we've known. It's what we helped build. It's part of our DNA, and it always will be. You know, our kind of gripes with the current situation is not with the AVP. It's just, with us, it's the lack of vision, you know, and the lack of promotion of the athletes and everything that I just said to you that makes our sport so amazing and so compelling that the world isn't seeing because we're not prioritizing telling that story. And so it was a really hard decision. It wasn't easy, but in my life, if I'm complaining about something constantly, and I was dissatisfied for a couple of years, I'm going to try to address it, which I did with management, and that wasn't going anywhere. So it's like, okay, it's either put up or shut up. Like, am I going to just suck it up and, kind of ride out the rest of my career with something that I'm dissatisfied with, or am I going to kind of go into the unknown and fight for what I believe in alongside my husband and our amazing partners? And so obviously we chose to go, the kind of uncharted route. And it's so exciting and it's so scary, so humbling. But we believe in our sport so much and we love our peers. And we just, right, the way things are right now, in our opinion, it's not sustainable. So the results of Team USA are going to go down because the athletes have to have 2 and 3 jobs. And so all the gold medals and medals that we've enjoyed the past Olympics, like the world has caught up and they have surpassed us the past couple of years. And so we really, it's a now or never situation. And the fact that beach volleyball and indoor volleyball is an NCAA collegiate sport for the girls, it makes us relevant forever. Mm-hmm. So that's going to support the growth of our sport below the collegiate system, grassroots juniors, but it also makes it so necessary to have the NBA of volleyball that exists. You can't just have college and then the Olympics, because only two teams, 4 athletes per gender go to the Olympics per country, max. So there's a whole other world out there of volleyball players and professionals who need a place to land, and that's what P1440 is going to create for them.
There's a gap for sure. How long had you been thinking about this? What was the brainstorming process behind it?
We became a real company in February of this year. It's so crazy. We had conversations, like our biggest in-depth conversation was in August of end of August, so early September of 2017 of last year. And that's basically when we sat down with the Maze, my husband and I, and we're like, are we going to do this? And we didn't really have how it was going to look, feel, what we were going to do. We just knew we wanted to, support the sport and really save the professional side of the sport. So that happened, just over a year ago. But prior to that, it was just like, it was kind of the breakaway from the ADP, kind of dealing with fallout, getting our feet under us and moving forward. And so it's all mm-hmm. happened very, very fast. I mean, the fact that we are going to have our first 4 events on ABC and ESPN, that is a big, big deal for a new property. The fact that we have, groups love and foster the people and Daya performing at our first event, and we have the best in the world competing. Like, we have all these elements that are so outstanding. You think we've been doing this for years, but we've literally been doing this for, 9 months.
It really is incredible what you guys have been able to accomplish in really what is ultimately a year. And then you've just launched the company in February of this year. And I mean, remarkable progress, Carrie. So not surprising, given your energy, both of you and Casey's intelligence and the team that you have behind you. It's not surprising, but my gosh, with your schedule, it is quite remarkable.
It's really a testament to Dave and Kasha Mays, our partners. They were retired, and my husband's known Dave since junior college days. And, so Dave was familiar with the sport, and they're genius business people, and they saw an opportunity here. But the fact that we've been able to build what we've been able to build, host these 4 events upcoming in 2018 with our TV, with, all of this, and we don't have the brand representation yet that we want to have. This is basically all self-funded, like pure entrepreneurial awesomeness. It's been really remarkable, and we really appreciate the leadership of the Mays family, because without them and the team they've constructed, it wouldn't be possible. Casey and I certainly are the heart and or a big part of the heart and soul and the vision of this, but the execution has been all on their shoulders, and it's been awesome.
So who was the brains behind the name 1440, which I love? I never even thought of a day in minutes, but 1440, there you go. And make every 60 seconds meaningful, how you guys created. Who came up with this concept?
Actually, it happened in a marriage counseling session with my husband and I. One of my husband's biggest complaints with me, I know, shocking that he has any complaints, but he's like, Carrie, he's like, you give the world your time, and you share your energy, and you're so lovely and so wonderful. But when you come home, the time you spend with us is less, and it's less quality because you're so damn tired because you just gave all this output. You're happy, but you're kind of a lump on a log. Let's figure this out. And so we were with our psychologist, Mike Gervais, who's actually also my performance psychologist. And he's like, you guys, you've been complaining about this for years. You're worried about your 1440. And we're like, what the heck is that? Like, yeah, sure, sounds great. And he's like, well, you only have 1,440 minutes in every day. Like, that's all you get. You need to prioritize. Carrie, we've talked about this. And it's like, oh, my God, that's all you get? Like, that's really nothing in the scheme of things. And it really was an aha awakening moment for me. My husband does a very good job of being in the moment. But myself as an athlete, myself as a mommy, myself as a woman who wants to kick ass in everything I do, like, I know without a doubt that my most badassery happens in the moment. It's not when I'm worried about the past. It's not when I'm worried about winning a gold medal, you know, in 2020 and in 2 years. It's right now. What I do now is going to affect everything. And so we just thought it was a very beautiful kind of lead with this movement we're building. You know, everyone stresses about time, and everyone, you know, has these things that you can really take control of. So we feel like when we inspire the world to live mindfully and in the moment, they're going to take back control of their lives, you know, because you can totally control that. Like, regardless of the madness of your life, regardless of anything, there are things that you can do to bring you back to the moment. And if you're in the moment, you can handle life so much better. I don't care how old you are.
And there's so much you just said in that sentence that you said, and in the paragraph you just said, and all the words you're saying, Carrie, that are so inspiring, and especially to our audience that is listening, women who are trying to achieve it all, who are trying to accomplish it all, balancing family, work, all the other responsibilities, and, oh, by the way, get some sleep at night and try and do things that make them happy. But what I love about you, and I think probably all of your fans agree too, you're so real. I mean, mentioning the marriage counseling, mentioning, you know, the psychologists and the psychiatrists and everybody that you work with to make you balanced and well-rounded and a good mom and a good wife. Why is that so important to communicate your imperfections as well as your success and your talents and your achievements?
You know, it's so interesting kind of being in the position I'm at, because I am so average and such a normal human being with all of my faults and insecurities. And when you achieve success in life, at least in my experience, people kind of put you on a pedestal. And for me, it makes me really insecure. I'm like, you don't know me, but you think I'm wonderful and beautiful like that. I hope to be that, but you don't know me, you know? And so I think part of it is, A, I always want to express myself authentically. And I really appreciate when people, regardless of where they are in life, like just human beings who share their stories with people. And I'm so proud of the fact that my husband and I, we did the work, you know, and I'm so proud that we continue to fine tune our marriage. And, you know, the losses in my career have made me better. So I just think it's so important. And I've had so many great role models in my life who I don't think they knew they were more my role models or my mentors, but I watched them grow through really hard times, and they did it like just in such a real way, always with positivity. You know, they took their hits, but they knew where they wanted to go. And I just think so much of life is a choice, and I really want to empower people to choose happiness, to choose to believe in yourself, to choose to take the reins of your own life, because that's what's been modeled for me. And in my life, when I make those decisions constantly and I have to reinforce them daily, it's not easy. I just feel better about myself, you know, and then I'm truly more autonomous in my life. It doesn't mean I don't lean on my experts or ask for help. That's not what life is about, but it just makes me even more confident in asking for help, because I don't feel like I'm, you know, like a burden or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I just like it. And I'm a yapper, obviously. You can't shut me up.
But, no, it's great.
I don't know. Oh, shit. Everyone's like, shut up. But I love being a mommy. I love doing the juggle. It's hard. I don't like to talk about the hard part, because it's just like I signed up for this. You know,
sure.
It's like marriage. Marriage is hard. Do you want me to complain about it? No, I want to tell you what I want and what I've been through to get what, you know, where I'm at. Like, that to me is a powerful part, because if you keep talking about like the tough stuff, I swear it just keeps you there. It keeps me there. And I always want to, you know, be talking about what I want, you know, what I'm willing to work for.
Well, you talk about being a mommy, and we love seeing the photos on your Instagram feed and your Twitter feed and the videos you put up and the fun household that is the Jennings household. But, you know, you have two sons and then your little daughter, Scout, 5 years old, just started kindergarten. You have an opportunity to instill these tremendous values that you have as strong, athletic, successful, smart, real in your daughter. How do you empower her to be at her best, even at this very young age?
Man, I just love her up. She blows me away every single day, and I just always, always want to be the biggest reminder for her to be her biggest cheerleader. Like, my parents believed in me so much that it was impossible to fail. It literally was, because I knew that they had me. They loved me unconditionally, and because of that, it gave me the audacity and the boldness, even as an insecure girl who had doubts, to put myself out there for chasing P1440 and creating it, for chasing gold medals and wanting to go to Stanford. And so I want to do that for my daughter. And I just think that when you love your kids and accept them and, you know, just kind of call out the great stuff they're doing and guide them when things are tough, like, she's so rad, man. She's the coolest girl I know, and she's perfect, and I don't want to get in her way. And I just want her always to feel like, even when she messes up, it's okay. Like, you just learn from that, Scout. you were just a punk to your brother. How'd it feel? Not good. Don't do it again. You know, it's pretty. These kids are so wise. It's amazing. She has her own sense of style. She knows what she wants. She is an empowered little girl, and she is going to be a kick-ass woman, and I just literally don't want to get in her way.
Does she give it to her big brother sometime? Because she sure as heck appears to do that on from what we can see. She bosses them around, huh?
I mean, she's the queen. Like, let's get this straight. She knows it. She's the princess. She gets away with it a lot. But, yeah, she mixes it up, you know, and they're starting to, like, respect her weight that she takes up and the space she takes up in life and her physicality. Like, she had her first soccer game and I missed it, but my husband was telling me the story and she was so wanted her brothers to watch. And so the boys went and, you know, sat on the sidelines. And I guess at timeout, Scout ran over and was like, Joey, like, what do you think? And Joey grabbed her. He's like, Scout, you're so good. You're working so hard. Don't get tired. You're doing, like, if you get tired, it's okay. Like, just breathe. Like, he was totally coaching her and, like, being the best cheerleader. And I was like, I mean, I don't want to toot our own horns, but we're good parents. Or they're just amazingly angelic kids, because that's just what you want. You know, she cares and they care about each other and it's really beautiful.
Carrie, take me through the start and the finish of the day, an average day in the household of the Jennings family, because it is five crazy, big, amazing personalities and athletic personalities. What is it like? What time does the day start for you guys?
Oh, man. Okay. Well, so we generally, the kids are in bed between 7:30 and 8. And that is beautiful because they need a good night's sleep. Case and I go to bed ideally between 10 and 11. I've been having practice at 7:30 in the morning, so I like to wake up around 5:45 or 6. Scout usually comes into our bed around 5, and she says, Mommy, snuggle with me. Daddy, snuggle. And it's the cutest thing. So I get up around 5:45, 6. I make my coffee, have a meditation, and then the kids start coming down around 6:30, 6:45, already dressed in their uniforms, ready for breakfast. And then it's kind of off to the races. Like, I leave before they go to school. Casey drops them off, at least this week, and then we kind of alternate. Casey and I just are gangbusters from about 7:30 till about 3 p.m. when we pick up the kids. After we pick up the kids, they either have a sports practice or piano or guitar or home for homework, and that's when the kids do that. They run free outside, have fun, and Casey and I get on the business of 1440, having, you know, team calls, doing brand outreach, doing interviews, whatever it is. And then we eat dinner as a family around 6:37, and then that's what we do.
Oh my gosh, I'm exhausted hearing it. Do you make your own dinner? Do you go and you guys get your supplies? No?
No, no. Well, so I did for a long time, and we were wasting a ton of money, and we were eating the same thing over and over. And so what we did, and we had so much waste, because I aspire to be a great cook, but I'm not yet. And so what we did about a year ago is that we have a cook. Her name is Nikki, and she makes us dinner Monday through Fridays. And she drops it off hot and fresh, and we help her with the menu, or she just knows what we, you know, kind of our guidelines, and she delivers it. And it's made life so much easier, and we're actually saving money.
I bet. That's
so
awesome.
It's amazing. I wish for everyone, unless you love cooking, like, I wish for everyone could do this because it's awesome. We were DoorDashing a lot and I was cooking, and it was just, you know, when you DoorDash, it's such a beautiful godsend, but you get so much extra junk in the meals, you know, like just more sodium, more saturated everything. And so this kind of helps us take control of our diet again, which is awesome.
What is your philosophy on technology in the house and with the kids?
Our kids,
cell phones, all
it.
That.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't do. I mean, they're little. They're 8, 9, and 5. Like, they don't. Like, we have, like, the old school Nintendo, and on the weekends they can play, you know, here and there. A couple years ago, I think almost 2 years ago now, we just took away their iPads. We got rid of technology because our kids were turning into little punks. They were more aggressive with each other. They were angry and not handling life. And so we got rid of it. But, like, the moment almost, like, a day or two later they got rid of it, they all got super involved in art. They all, you know, picked up the piano and guitar. You know, we had these elements around them so they can kind of gravitate toward whatever they wanted. But the creativity and the peace in our household with being without technology is ridiculous.
You know, a lot of the energy that I hear from you, Carrie, and that you talk about in, you know, with Casey and with your marriage counseling and with the things you're trying to work on with regards to give, 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 and you give so much to everyone else around you and to your company and to your training regimen. But what do you do to treat yourself for all the hard work that you do, both in sport and business and being a mom and being a wife? Like, what do you like to do to treat yourself?
Well, I'm a fantastic shopper. Like, I'm a gold medalist shopper. So that's something I do. No, you know.
Like clothes shopping or what kind of shopping?
Yeah, you name it. I'm good at it.
I love it.
I'm really good at, spending money. Jewelry is my favorite. No, you know, I don't know. I feel like my life is just a treat. And it doesn't mean it's easy or simple, but it's just I'm doing everything that I want to do. And to me, like, the biggest guilty pleasure would be not responding to emails and just hanging out, you know? But, like, I would indulge in a nap. I would indulge in shopping. I would indulge a little day trip just, like, to go and be by myself just so I can kind of get grounded. But, you know, I'm with my kids every day when I'm home and not competing. I'm, you know, working on things that I love, and that really fuels me. You know, the fact that my husband is just obviously a huge part of 1440 and what we're doing, and he's back to competing and he's kicking butt. Like, it's such a family venture, and my kids feel like they're part of the team. Like, it's priceless what we're doing together. It really feels very powerful, and it feels just so much bigger than us, as it should be.
You read a lot as well. I know that. You quote famous authors very frequently on your Instagram feed. Paulo Coelho is a favorite of yours. The Alchemist happens to be one of my favorite books. Do you have a favorite book?
No. Well, The Alchemist is certainly up there for sure. Now that you put me on the spot, damn it.
Are you reading a book right now?
I am. I'm reading Originals. And I can't remember the author, but it's incredible. I actually have it in my bag. I could probably find it. Natural Born Heroes is an amazing, amazing book. Laird Hamilton gave it out as a recommendation, and I think it's absolutely fantastic. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I listen to a lot of Abraham Hicks. If you're not familiar with Abraham, it's this law of attraction, like what you focus on is what you bring into your life. Finding Mastery podcast with my psychologist and my marriage counselor, Mike Survey. And yeah, there's just amazing ways to learn out there and to just keep picking my curiosity. You know, I live a very profound life, and I don't know how to speak to it. I want to be able to speak to it on these platforms like you're giving me today. I want to speak intelligently and articulately. And I think that listening to these things and reading these books, as it's always done, has just broadened me in beautiful ways. So I love reading and I love listening.
Well, you have quite the team around you. You talk a lot about having your tribe and your group, your parents, your family, your husband, your children. You have a tribe on the court as well, and I want to kind of shift now to Tokyo, where your attention is focused right now, and the reason why you continue to compete is to go for that gold in 2020. Do you know who your partner will be in Tokyo?
I do know, but I don't think I can share with you that.
Okay, that's okay. I understand.
You just decided. Yeah.
So you just decided. How do you know when you've...
Yeah.
How do you know when you found the right partner?
Oh, my hell. Well, you just have a feeling. You know, it's really kind of like dating. And the dating pool for beach volleyball is pretty small. And I certainly knew what attributes that I wanted. Like, I wanted someone who has been there, you know, kick-ass athlete who clearly can handle the mental and emotional pressure of the chase and the hunt and the big spotlight. And I wanted a rad defender. And so I think once you know what you want in life, it and you believe that it's there, and you kind of start seeing through that filter, and then it comes to you. You know, and I certainly had that experience, and I had the great fortune of talking to a couple girls about playing, and it just became clear to me. Like, I really yearn for clarity in life every single day, and sometimes it's the last thing I get, but I really just didn't want to rush it, and I really tried to, again, live in the moment and be really kind of honest with my and deliberate with my decision-making, and it just came to me, and I'm so excited, and she said yes, and you know, I feel like we just got married and now we're off to go and win a gold medal. So, but you know, I love chasing gold medals. Like, I love the journey to gold and all these things. And my favorite thing, and there's a quote that's out there. It's like, you have the dream and you have the goal because it's going to transform you into the person that you need to become in order to make that dream and goal come true. And I'm just so looking forward to the next 2 years of going on this, you know, big, beautiful, bold journey, you know, also along with creating P1440. And I can't wait to see who I become, you know, because I'm going to become more dynamic. I'm going to become wiser and more resilient and more capable. And that's really the fun of all of it is, like, who are you going to become throughout the trials and the tribulations and all the good stuff too.
Well, it's been fun to watch who you've become over the many, many years you've been playing beach volleyball and indoor volleyball at that. Your very first Olympics was indoors. When you look at your partner and what you want to achieve in Tokyo in 2020, would you say that you are a different teammate now than you used to be?
That's a really good question. You know, I feel like you'd have to talk to my partners. Like, I think from the start to finish with Misty, yes. You know, that was 10 plus years of growing literally into a woman with her. And I know that the space I took up and all these things evolved dramatically. I mean, I would assume so. I wouldn't know how to speak to it. But I hope the common thread is that I'm a kind, great partner. Like, my joy in life is to make my partnership, whether it's in my marriage or on the court with my volleyball partner, to be the best partner they've ever had and to make life easy. And that's one of my joys in life. So I certainly hope that I'm getting better at that.
Your partner in Rio was April Ross. You guys made America proud by winning the bronze medal, but I know that you had expectations to win gold. I know you've talked about how crushing it was and devastating it was to bring home the bronze. You wanted the gold. But I also read that you were living in fear on the court, which I found so interesting after that heartbreaking loss, because here you are, you've achieved such great success after making it your passion and your career for decades, and then you feared the court. Tell me about that and why it was such so difficult for you to come out of a bronze medal, which so many people would kill for.
Yeah, well, you know, winning the bronze was amazing. It was a highlight. It was the night before that was a nightmare. Like, literally a living nightmare as an athlete to be on the stage that you've worked so hard for with a partner who you just want to help, you know, achieve this goal with, and you have a terrible night. Like, that really hurt me. It hurt my ego. It hurt my soul. Like, it's just sport, but it's, you know, it means so much to us, and we dedicate so much. So to fall short because of a terrible performance on my part was really crushing. You know, I really pride myself on being a gamer and being capable of getting out of every funk, you know, and just if something's not working, I can always pivot and, you know, focus on what's working so that we can come back and win. And nothing worked that night, you know, and it was crushing. But to win the bronze was, and to have to go through that and to have to find my courage and, you know, my unity with my teammate when all I wanted to do was stay at home and cry, you know, which sounds so pathetic, but it was just so devastating. It was a real gift to have to dig deep and to have to look in the mirror and be like, stop being a baby, you know, step up. This is an opportunity. So I love that. But after winning that bronze and kind of going through that semifinal loss, like for a year and a bit, I literally lived in fear of regressing and fear of kind of, you know, being that player that who showed up that semifinal night. And I'm really proud of the fact that I kept fighting. Like, I didn't poop my pants. Like, I was fighting. I wasn't running away. I was, you know, someone told me that, like, how did it feel? Like, you know, some people do just, you know, poop the bed, you know, in these moments. And I was like, I don't think I did that. But because I wasn't scared in the moment. I was with my partner and I was fighting and it just wasn't happening. You know, it's terrible execution night. And so it's really interesting, kind of the mental and emotional like conversations you have with yourself after something like that happens to you. It really threw me for a loop and it was really hard for me to get my feet under me because I guess I defined myself as, you know, just unflappable and a winner. And when I didn't win, it just crushed me. And so it took me a long time and a lot of work with Mike Gervais and a lot of like looking in the mirror and journaling and figuring stuff out. And now I'm at a place where it's like, and this is what I came to with Gervais. He's like, you're there to compete, period. Of course, you know, you want to win. Of course you do that. But if you focus on the end result, you're going to live in fear because you have no control over that. Like you have control over the way you compete, you know, the energy, the tone you set when you show up on the court, like focus on what you control because you cannot control the outcome. That makes the journey to Tokyo so much more fun and less stressful when it's like, you're right. I'm one of the best competitors in the world. I don't care what sport. I'm an athlete. I'm a competitor and I'm going to bring 100% of what I got. Sometimes it'll be better than others. But when you frame it that way, it's so liberating instead of being like, you know, like just, we can create mountains out of molehills, and that's what I did in Rio, you know, and that's something that I never want to do again because ultimately it's a game and you're there to compete. And if something messes up, you just focus on the next point because you have generally another shot coming up.
It's inspiring how you've overcome that fear. And you talk about, though, the year. I mean, it took you a long time after Rio to get back on your feet, to get your mind right, working with your team around you. You're going to be 42 in the summer in Tokyo, which you've defied age on many levels. So that's not what I want to focus on. I want to focus on the bronze medal from Rio. Is the bronze why you're back? You said you might have been done after Rio if you took home the gold. Is that a huge motivating factor for you?
I mean, if I'm going to be totally honest, yes, for sure. I'm pretty sure that I would have retired had we won. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why I say that. It's just, I don't know. It's just a feeling that I have that I wouldn't have been done. But I honestly, like, I think about Tom Brady and I why he lost the last Super Bowl, you know, when everything, like, the stars were aligned. Like, April and I were kicking ass in Rio. Like, we were dominating, you know?
Yes, you were.
And then you fall, you know, and you have mm-hmm. this, or I, you know, I had this night and I dragged April down with it, which will always bug me, because she deserves that gold, deserved. But, you know, I think about Tom Brady and I'm like, maybe he would have been done. But his soul knows, and the universe and God knows that he has more, and he would have been unsatisfied had he won and retired. And so we're always searching for more in life, right? And I believe that the bronze medal experience fortified me, and I'm not going to allow myself to end on that note. Not that if I fall short of the gold, I'm not going to, you know, be ruined as a woman. Like, I'm in it for the journey. I'm in it for the growth I will get along the way. But hell yeah, I want to finish on top. I want to go out with a fairy tale ending because I believe in it, and I believe it's possible. So it's a motivating factor for sure, but it's probably, you know, I don't know, a fifth of the motivation, because the internal and inherent inspiration that I have inside of me is trumps that, you know, by a factor of 100.
Well, it's palpable, the energy, the excitement. I mean, we're excited to see you in 2020, and we wish you nothing but the best of luck. You talk about Tom Brady, and I think there's so many parallels between you and Tom Brady on so many different levels. I mean, the platform he has with his fitness and his food regimen and everything else on the side, in addition to balancing a family and achieving greatness in his sport. You guys are so similar in that regard. Do you ever have conversations with either Tom or other athletes about what you guys go through and the competitive nature with which your lives revolve around?
You know, not so much. I have never met Tom, and I will. He's a Bay Area guy. You know, his wife loves beach volleyball. She's Brazilian. There's so many synergies. but no, you know, I listened to a lot of interviews. Like, I've watched Tom versus Time. Kobe just had this an amazing interview, you know, speaking about loss and how it's important to go back and watch video of a bad performance, because that's where you're going to get the juice out of it. And I'm a student of the great. You know, I love Bruce Lee. I love Muhammad Ali. I love Kobe. I love Jordan. I love Tom Brady. Like, apparently I'm a big front runner. But I just respect it so much. Like, Federer, like, he's incredible. Mia Hamm, like, there's just so many incredible athletes that it's for sure that they won, but it's the essence of them, and it's how they won that impresses me most. You know, like, I'm all about sustained excellence and staying on top and doing whatever needs to be done to live a great life and to kick ass on the court. And these people that I look to, Gabrielle Reese, Laird Hamilton, like, they don't believe in limitations. They believe in themselves. And I want to always be surrounded by people like that, even if it's in a podcast or even if it's on a YouTube video, like, because it helps me to believe in myself more, you know, because they've done the unthinkable things. And, you know, maybe for a moment it was unthinkable to them, but then they're like, enough of that. Like, I know what I want. I'm going to go for it, you know?
Oh, it's awesome. No, you go for it. That's for sure. And I think so many people feed off of that. And whether it's through your social media or when we have the opportunity to meet you in person, or for someone like me who gets to cover you on a daily basis during the Olympics. I mean, it truly is. You feed off that so much, the energy you have and the positivity you create around those around you. But before I let you go, Carrie, I do want to have a little fun with you we've had a ton of fun already, but the rapid fire questions, we're going to get a little personal, kind of dive into your world a little bit. But what's your guilty pleasure?
Shopping,
yeah. Well, I think, you know, you mentioned Giselle being a beach volleyball fan. I think you and Giselle should go shopping. There you go.
Oh, man. I don't know if I can, you know, support myself with the places she hits. But yes, I would love that. Yeah, I agree. I want to get her on the court.
There you go.
I'm going to take on Tom and Giselle, and or the girls take on the boys. That'd be really fun.
Who's the one person that you would trade places with for one day?
Santa Claus.
Ooh, I like that. Well, you get to play Santa Claus once a year already, right?
I do, I know, but, you know, the real thing would be incredible.
What's the one item besides your cell phone that you cannot leave home without?
Ooh, a good attitude.
What's the top item?
Credit card, sorry.
And your credit, yeah, we can't leave. If you're going shopping, you can't leave home without the credit card. What's the top item, I should say, on your bucket list right now?
That's a gnarly question. I don't even have an answer. The hokey in me was like to be able to get the opportunity to explore Tokyo in 2020 after winning gold.
There you go. That's perfect. We'll make that your top bucket list item. We hope you get that opportunity too. You know, we're so proud of you, Carrie, as Americans and as those who cover sport. And all the women that are listening that just feed off of so much of the advice that you've given and the real authenticity that you bring. So thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to seeing you in the next couple years on the court.
Thank you. And I also want to do a call to action. If everyone can go check out P1440 or follow at Platform 1440, we're doing some amazing stuff and we'll have some amazing experts giving great guidance and, you know, insight into life. So please check that out. It'd be an honor to have you guys support us. And thank you so much for this conversation. It was really fun.
Absolutely. Thanks, Carrie.
All right. Take care.
Thank you to Carrie Walsh Jennings for joining us, the 5-time Olympian and 3-time Olympic gold medalist. What a conversation. You can download the On Her Turf podcast on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher. And let us know what you think. We want to hear from you, so be sure to chime in. You can follow us on Instagram on Her Turf. Have a great rest of your day, everyone. Be sure to join us next time for the On Her Turf podcast.